Are you feeling stressed? If the answer is yes, you are not alone. In fact, we all experience stress at some point in our life. It is a hard truth that science educator Kate Bieberdorf, also known as Kate the Chemist, has been facing a lot recently. In this episode of her podcast with KCUR, Seeking a Scientist, she set out to understand the science behind everyday stress and some helpful ways to cope.
Life update. I just made a pretty big, exciting, but also super stressful change. After 16 years in Austin, Texas, I moved across the country and started a new job as the United States' first professor for the public understanding of science at the University of Notre Dame.
Yes! I'm Kate the Chemist.
She's nationally known for breathing fire, explosions, and major TV appearances. And now her mission is to bring that same notoriety to Notre Dame.
A new school, a new home, a new job. The laundry list of stressful things felt endless. And when we checked in with you, you shared that there were a lot of things stressing you out, too.
What do I want to do? What is my career going to be?
The uncertainty.
Everyday life is stressful.
Is there enough money?
Driving. Stacking my to-do list too high.
The way people perceive me, that stresses me out.
You know, am I taking care of the house and myself and this and that?
So I think we can all agree that stress is sometimes, unfortunately, a major part of life. And it can manifest itself in a number of different ways. It might be that uneasy feeling in your stomach, tiredness or an inability to sleep, forgetfulness, maybe your heart racing or headaches, even depression. Yet not all stress is bad stress. Some of us thrive on it.
Am I addicted to stress? I feel weird when I'm not stressed.
There are certain levels of stress that you have to go through to grow as a person.
When that adrenaline level kicks in and everything starts firing.
Oof, this is me. Like when Al Roker says, please welcome to the stage, Kate the Chemist.
Kate the Chemist.
Kate the Chemist.
I get this massive surge of adrenaline and dopamine, and that dynamic duo helps me perform on live TV. Yet for some introverts, there's not enough adrenaline on the planet to convince them to step in front of a camera. So I've always wondered if we have the exact same molecules bouncing around in our bodies and brains, how can we have such different responses to them? And is our stress getting worse?
Could it be that a society gets so stressed out that it actually starts to break?
So I'll admit it, I'm kind of a control freak. And during my big move, all the things I normally can handle were just out of whack. And I was really struggling. I had a conversation with my friend, neurobiologist Kosik C at the Sowers Institute, and asked him why I felt so off.
I think in the modern life, we worry so much, we want to control every aspect of our life. And that's actually stress. We do not accept that the life has unexpectedness built within it.
The unknown can be scary, especially if you're uprooting your life to chase after your dream job.
Many times in the modern life, our quest to be eternally happy, I think that causes a lot of stress on us. And the moment we are not feeling happy, we feel we are stressed. But I don't think we should equate those.
Kosik's point is that even in a healthy environment, anything that sets us off our path toward eternal happiness could cause us stress. And that's one of the reasons why stress is a really challenging topic for scientists to study. It's a nuanced area of brain research.
Essentially, nobody would debate that the stress has an impact on how we function, how we form memory, how to do anything. But what the debate is about, where the stress is exactly acting on.
So Kosik helped me connect with the queen of stress science herself, Dr. Rajita Sinha. She's a psychiatry and neuroscience professor and the founder of the Yale Stress Center, where a team of scientists are using brain images to collect stress data.
We quantify it many ways. It's multi-level, so you quantify the stressors people have faced. You quantify their body's response, you know, up and down, the signs and symptoms. All of this is new, actually, in many ways. So that's what's exciting about it.
So from a scientific perspective, how would you define stress?
The experience of feeling challenged, feeling pressured, threatened, or overwhelmed, or the pain and distress of that experience can all be part of what we think of when we think of stress.
What would a common stressor be?
there are so many different types of stressors, right? Somebody is chasing you, threatening you in a way that you are need to run for your life, or somebody, God forbid, points a gun at you or a weapon at you. There are, you know, climate-related stressors. You've got a hurricane coming, your house is going to be exposed to some drastic external things. But there's work-related stress, and there's family stress, balancing that. That's the pressure of, you know, you've got too much to do. But there are also internal stressors. So if your body's recovering from an illness, or you are in acute pain or chronic pain, or have, God forbid, extreme hunger or extreme sleeplessness, for example, those can all be situations that drive the stress response and that make us stress.
Biologically, is there a reason why we experience stress? So you talked about the gun example or running for your life. So what happens in those moments specifically?
We have a very robust biology of stress. We have a hardwired response, whole system and substrate for responding because we are wired for survival, both individually to survive, but also for a species.
Let's say you're going for a hike and then suddenly a bear appears. In that split second, your amygdala, the part of your brain that handles our emotions, will send an SOS signal to your hypothalamus. I like to think of the hypothalamus as those 1950s telephone operators.
Long distance.
Operator.
It's the section of our brain that uses our nervous system to send lightning-fast messages to the rest of our body. That's how we know to freeze or run in an instant. That response is what we've come to call fight or flight, or tend or befriend. But Rajita says this is only one part of the stress response.
Because if you think of the survival mode, that has very much driven the thinking about fight or flight and freeze. But that is not the only thing we do. We do a lot more than surviving. In fact, what we've learned, what the new science of stress, what I like to call the new science of stress, has taught us is that we're learning about cells and neurons, our brain cells, but cells in our body. And one of the things that's very critical and main function of the biological stress system is adaptation.
In fact, research out of the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Cell Biology and Genetics shows that our cells know when we're in a stressful situation, and they form membrane-less compartments that help us survive in the moment and then recover more easily after the stressor has been eliminated. However, it's possible that the trauma from the experience can stay with you and continue to cause you further stress. And what about the things in life that are constant?
Yes, there's the run thing and you took care of it. But now you can't run anywhere and you can't sleep. Well, what is sleeplessness telling you? It's telling you it's like a stress sign. People would say, but how do I know when I should care about it? You know, because sometimes I'm stressed and then I'm okay. I talk to my friend and I'm fine. So we would say when it's not letting up, when it comes back, and it keeps coming back in the week, then that signal, your body's saying, wait a minute, I'm here, take care of me.
When your body is sending off those alert signals to take care of yourself, that's when you need what Dr. Rajita Sinha refers to as a stress buster. For me, it's yoga or a kickboxing class. For my hubby, it's 30 minutes with his Kindle. Rajita, do you have some stress busters that you'd recommend?
What I call the low-hanging fruit is what we should all be considering. Exercise is good. Talking to a friend or a family member, somebody you're close to, just talking. Our body is actually wired to partake in these things to help us reset. Nutrition is really important. Being outdoors, being in pleasant environments. And then some people have other ways, really ice cold towel on their face, or take even a cold plunge, which some people like to do. So there's lots of different stress busters. And in fact, just as stress is uniquely individual in many ways in the way that we experience it, the stress busters are uniquely individual. I had one person, I said, well, what do you do to take care of your stress? And they go to a drumming class twice a week. Well, that's fantastic, because when we break down the science of this, it's really neat, because we use our muscles and our body to send signals up to the brain for resetting. And that is just beautiful.
That was an excerpt from the KCUR podcast, Seeking a Scientist, hosted by Kate the Chemist. It is made possible by the Stowers Institute for Medical Research. You can hear more episodes wherever you get your podcasts.